All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Can't go wrong bragging on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Heard a story one time of an old drunk that got saved and began preaching. And they ended up getting him in some place where he was kind of out of his element around a bunch of people. And they asked him, they said, his last name was Monroe, and they said, what doctrine do you believe in? He said, I guess the Monroe doctrine. They said, what's that? He said, just rave on Jesus. And you get somebody like an old drunk that gets saved, and that's what they like. That's what they think about, and they look at this world, and they realize, they've lived it. And they know what this world's got, and they know what it's all about, and they know what's real, and they know what's going to happen in this world, and buddy, they can't wait to get to heaven. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. First Samuel chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 1. Read the first four or five verses here. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb." Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer once again. Father, we are thankful, God, for Jesus Christ. We're thankful for something, God, to sing about, for something to rave about, something that's real, somebody that cared enough for us to die for us, Lord, even though you knew everything about us. And we don't want to ever take it too lightly, God, although times, God, I'm sure we get complacent. We don't give you the glory and the honor you deserve. And God, we're just but dust. And we pray, God, that you would forgive us of our shortcomings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God. As the song said, God, we stand upon his merit. And we pray tonight, God, that this service tonight, God, will be a blessing to you. And we pray, God, on behalf, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, because we don't deserve for you to bless this service. We don't deserve for you to bless this preacher. We don't deserve for you to talk to these people. Lord, we've done wrong at times this week, God. We've neglected you. We've neglected your word. We've neglected our prayer life. And God, if it was on our merit tonight, God, we'd be out in the cold. But we're thankful, God, for your blood. We're thankful for Jesus Christ. And God, we're asking you tonight, God, because of him and because of what he's done on his merit, Lord, we ask you to be here tonight, God. Lord, we pray tonight, God, for the people, Lord, that's here, Lord, that you'd speak to their hearts. God, I pray, Lord, that you would get their hearts tender. God, that they'd listen for you tonight. God, they'd listen for something that would help them. Lord, I pray, God, for me tonight, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd strengthen me and give me courage tonight, God, to preach your word. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ tonight, God. And upon your merit, God, I stand here tonight, God, ready to preach, ready to do what I have to do, God, but realizing, God, I'm so unworthy, God, to be here. God, when you called me, Lord, honestly, Lord, I don't know what you were doing. God, there's times, God, I get full of myself and can think I can preach, Lord, but I know this. And God, I'm so unworthy. Lord, help me, God, with my pride and my arrogancy, Lord. God, I ask you to forgive me tonight, God, for my shortcomings. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you'd bless this in spite of me, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that everything that's done tonight, God, be to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the songs, God, that we were allowed to sing and sing praises to you and for what you've done for us, God, and that we've got a new name written in heaven. God, you've been good to us, Lord. Lord, you love us. God, we can't put enough praise and glory to you. We're thankful, God. You're worthy to be praised. And God, again, Lord, we just pray for this service, Lord. Pray, God, for this preacher, God, that you'd hold him up tonight, God. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, now just to get the setting here of this story here in the book of 1 Samuel, you're there in the land of Israel, and basically what you have there at the temple is you've got the high priest, who's Eli, and he's got two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. You've got those two sons right there. They're the priests of the Lord. They're doing the job there. They're taking the offerings of the people. But as you find out through the book of 1 Samuel, what you find out about those two priests, Hophni and Phinehas, is that they were evil. And they were so evil that they began to get people to abhor the offering of the Lord. Kind of like these TV evangelists, kind of like people like Benny Hinn and people like Kenneth Copeland, who are trying to tell you to send money, send in this money, and keep getting money, and where they get everything, and they've got these big Lear jets and mansions and all this big bank account and all that stuff. You know what real people do? They begin to abhor giving to the Lord. So you got Hophni and Phinehas, who's the sons of Eli, and they're there in this setting right here. And you've also got a man named Elkanah. And Elkanah here has two wives. There's his first problem. Somebody asked me one time, you believe in having two wives? I said, buddy, I don't know if I don't believe in one wife anymore, as hard as that is. I can imagine having double the trouble. But anyway, here he is. He's got two wives. Penina, I'm not talking about just her being bad. I'm talking about having to... There you go. Now listen. Here we go. That was a joke. I'm glad everybody's all good and good going now. That's good. That was the wives that I'd seen before I got married when he asked me. I just... All right. What a blessing. All right. Book of 1 Samuel here. So you've got Penina and you've got Hannah. And Penina has got children, and Hannah, the Bible says that she has no children. But now what Hannah does have is she's got the love of her husband. And Hannah, she looks, you can see there where the Bible says that they give gifts to Penina, but it says that he gives many gifts there to Hannah. And so you can tell right there that Elkanah is in love with Hannah. And so what she's got is she's got the love of her husband. And she's got all these gifts. He's showering her with all these gifts, all these worthy portions. He's giving her everything she wants. And when a person from the outside would look at this situation, they would think, man, Hannah has absolutely got it made. Her husband loves her, unlike poor Beth there. Her husband throwing her under the bus. Here you got Hannah, her husband loves her, and giving her all these worthy portions, giving her everything her heart desires. I mean, he comes home from work one day and she's been on the internet there looking at this new home, this new living room suit, and she looks at it and she says, Elkanah, look at this new living room suit. Look how beautiful. Well, you know, this is only 2 or 3 years old. Yeah, but this is so pretty. Well, go get it. Here's a checkbook. Get what you want to get. Well, hey, I've seen this new car they got out down there at the new horse and buggy place, and I look at this thing and it's got all the new bells and whistles on it. Elkanah, look at this thing. Go get it. Everything that she wanted, Elkanah was given to her. He gave her all the gifts. He bestowed all those gifts on her. He blessed her. He gave her worthy portions. And then he loved her more than he loved Penina. It's obvious there in that chapter. That's right there is the setting of this thing. But the problem is that Hannah has got two things that's going on that she can't get victory over. Number one, she can't have any children. She's got a problem there. And it's not something that's just medically wrong with her or something that's going on. The Bible goes on to tell you there that it's from the Lord. The Bible says the Lord shut up her womb. It was from God. That was the problem. It was something God was putting her through. And the second problem that she had was that her adversary knew what her problem was. And he also knew, she also knew that was her heart's desire, was to have children. And so what you had with that problem was, is you know how it goes. You've got Penina there, and Penina's looking at this situation, and every time Elkanah comes in, I mean, you can just see how your adversary would do there. She's looking at this situation. Kids, go give your daddy a hug. Then look over at Hannah. Don't even have to say a word. There's times she's sitting there, and she gives those
innuendos, those little comments about, oh, I've got so many children, I don't know what I'm going to do. And Hannah's sitting over there, and that stuff's just ripping her apart. You see, she had a problem that, just a problem that she had something she wanted. But then the other problem was, she had an adversary that lived in the house with her that was constantly just pricking that and pushing it and prodding and going after it. And that's what the problem was. And there's multitudes of people in this world today that we'll look at and we'll say, you know what? They've got it made. They've got this and they've got that and they've got all this worldly things and they look like they're on top of the world and they look like they got it made. But you just never know what somebody's going through. You don't know what kind of problems people have. And you say, well, I know so-and-so, and they've got it made, and they don't have any problems. But you don't know that. I mean, there's all kinds of things that'll come out. You'll see somebody go off and kill somebody, and you're like, man, who would have ever seen that coming? And I've been around long enough to know that people are good at hiding problems sometimes in their life. And you never know. They always seem cheerful. They always seem energetic. They seem like they got their home together. And you begin to talk to them, and you get close to them, and you find out that they ain't got it together. And they got things in their life that's just weighing them down. And you got two types of people in the world today. You got saved people and you got lost people. Lost people's problem, I'll tell you what it is. Lost people's problem is they're lost. And the only way they're ever going to have any peace or enjoyment or anything in their life that's good is they're going to have to get saved. They're going to have the Holy Spirit indwelling in them so they can bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, and peace. If you want joy and peace in this lifetime, then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to be saved. And then you got saved people. And when it comes to saved people, they can have all kinds of different types of problems. They can have problems there that they bring on themselves. I mean, the Bible still says you reap what you sow. And there's a lot of people in this world that think God's putting them through something, and God ain't putting them through nothing. They're putting it through themselves. They're bitter, they're envious, they're jealous, they've got pride, they're arrogant, they got no temperance, they're mad all the time, they're hatred, they got hatred all the time, they're frustrated all the time, and they're saved as you and I are, but they're not walking after the Spirit, and it's causing them problems, and they think God is just putting them through the ringers when it's their own fault, and they're just reaping what they sow. There's that kind of problem with saved people. Then you got saved people that, honestly, it's just their lot in life. They've got problems because their lot in life, just from happenstance, as they talk about in the book of Ruth. You know what happens sometimes? There's some people they're born in Africa. They've got problems in Africa that they have to deal with that we don't have to deal with tonight. Just because of where they were born at, they've got some problems. You got some problems, some people that was born with some problems that they're just going to be sick. And they've just got some problems. They're not going to live very long because they were just born that way. And you say, yeah, but brother, ain't that the Lord? I don't know. I know in John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, you're over there and there's a young man that was born blind. And they said, who sinned, him or his father and his mother? And they said, neither one of them sinned. He was blind for the glory of God. And there's some people that's just the way it is. That's just their lot in life. And then there's some problems that people have that's saved that they're there for a reason. And God's put them in that situation. Or there's a problem there that arose and God's using that situation that they didn't have any control over, that God really didn't bring it into their life. He didn't make a kid go wayward. It just happened. But God's using that wayward kid to humble them, to break them, to get them close to Him, to fix that relationship back, to get their heart tender, to increase their faith. They get these problems in their life. And nobody wants to go through a problem like that. But you can't get away from verse 5 where the Bible says, but the Lord had shut up her womb. That came from God. And I'm going to tell you live this life long enough as a saved person, and God's going to put you through some things. And you are going to be in there. And there's not no amount of money that somebody can throw at you and fix that problem. None. Nobody can give you $50. It's not a problem you can fix with money. See, Hannah had Elkanah. And Elkanah would have gave her any... If Elkanah could have took care of that problem, he would have took care of that problem for her. But he couldn't. And there are some problems that people go through in this life that there is not money can fix. there's not a counseling session and somebody tell you something that's going to fix that problem for you. You are there and you're there. By God's will, you're there. Or it's something that's happened and God is using that as a situation, as a tool to get you to the point to where He wants your heart tender and He can use it and there's nothing you can do about it. And you're stuck and you're right there. There are people that are dealing with sickness in their life that nobody else knows about. And they're sitting there and they're going through it and God's letting them go through it. And you know what it's doing? It's breaking them. It's breaking their heart. It's breaking their spirit. And it's either drawing them closer to the Lord or they're getting frustrated and wanting to quit on God. But I can tell you this, they're sitting there and it's bad enough to where those two thoughts are in their mind. I'm either going to get closer to God or I've had it. God don't love me and I'm tired of this and I'm quitting on God. That's reality. That's where they're at. There's people with sickness. There's people that's enduring some deaths in their family. Maybe a mother or a father, or even worse, maybe a child, maybe a nephew, maybe a niece. I know last year at church camp, Brother Rob Manarese that was up here last week, him and his wife was coming down last week, and the night before they got ready to come down here, her brother's son got killed in a car wreck. Hit their nephew. And it was devastating. Devastating. You know what the Lord does? He uses those times. There are times where you have a problem and it is a God-given problem or it's a problem that God is using in your life to get you where He wants you. And what we do is God gives us enough rope to hang ourselves. He gives us grace. He gives us long-suffering. He gives us mercy. He lets us go through some things and we get out there and we think, my life's good. I'm going to try a little bit of this, try a little bit of that. I'm looking around. Nothing bad's happening. Hey, I like this, all right, I'm going to do this for a little bit. And you keep looking, and God ain't done nothing bad yet. Things must be good. And we get to the point to where God's got to bring us in. Sometimes, we ain't doing anything wrong. We're reading our Bible. We're praying for God's will in our life. God, I just want to be a blessing. And all of a sudden, things begin to happen. And you're trying to figure out, what did I do wrong? You didn't do anything wrong. And God's got you in a situation where He wants you. And He's going to try to develop your heart. He's going to try to develop your faith. And there's nothing you can do about it except get close to God. There's little girls and little boys that tonight when they go to bed, they're going to worry about who's going to come in the bedroom tonight. That happens. That happens in America. And they got problems. And they go to school and they don't tell nobody. And they try to forget about it. And they try to hope it ain't going to happen. But you know what? It's a problem in their life. No amount of money you throw at them is going to help them at all. It's a problem that they got. That's a problem there that they're having to deal with. And if they don't have the Lord, what do they have? You've got women that go home and get abused physically. They get abused. Your husband's yelling and screaming at them. And they sit there and they have to deal with it and they have to put on a good face. And you know what happens? Nothing. You can't give no money for some problems like that right there. And Hannah's sitting here in this situation, and the Bible says that the Lord had shut up her womb. And there's a reason He does it. The reason that He'll take problems that other people's put you in, or He'll take a problem that He's put you in Himself, and He'll try to get your heart tender. And He'll try to bless you at the end of it. At the end of Hannah's situation here in her story, Hannah gets everything she wanted. But, let me tell you this. I'm not going to tell you this, that everything that you pray for, God's going to deliver you out of. He ain't going to do it. He's not a genie. And He's not a Santa Claus. He's not up there to do everything that you want Him to do to just satisfy your flesh. You know what God does sometimes? He puts you through it to prove you. That's what He said in the Old Testament. He said, I'll put you through these things to prove you, to see whether or not you're serious about serving Me. But now God is a great God. And just like David said over there when his child was sick, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I know that they're saying he's going to die, but God's merciful. And I'm going to pray to see if God will still have mercy. And that's what our attitude is. We've got a good God. We've got to be able to handle it if He says no. But in this story right here, Hannah done what she was supposed to do, and God delivered her from her adversary. The first thing you want to look at here is what got Hannah through all this? The first thing you want to see, look at verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, and her adversary also provoked her sore,
for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. First thing I want you to look at in verse 7 is, look at that up there, year by year. You know what she was? She was patient. She patiently waited to see what God was going to do. And a lot of people today, they're not going to make it year by year. A lot of people today ain't going to make it day by day. You know what they're going to do? They're going to pray. If God don't deliver them out of their problem, they're quitting on God. First thing you see with Hannah was, quitting was not an option. That wasn't even an option. That wasn't even in the equation. You know what she was doing? She looked at this situation and she said, here's my problem. The only person that can help me is God. The only problem, the only person that's going to take care of me through this situation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just like over there in John chapter 6, where he's sitting there talking to those disciples, and he said, will you go away also? And Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You're the Christ. We believe you're Jesus Christ. Who's going to help us? But you know the problem with us, especially in America, because we got so many options, we get going in a situation, we think somebody's done us wrong, and as soon as the first option is, I'll just go to another church. I'll just quit on God. Or I'll just quit doing this. Or I'll just quit tithing. I can't pay my bills and I've been doing this. Or I'm going to quit visiting. I ain't seeing no results. Or I'm going to quit preaching on the street because I don't see any results. Or I'm just going to quit on God because I got a kid that got sick and so-and-so didn't. Hannah wasn't that way. Hannah patiently waited year by year with her adversary in her same house provoking her over and over and over about not having any children. And we can't make it when somebody talks about us. You see what? You say, what's the problem? The problem is if you want delivered from your adversary or the problem that you've got going on in your life, the first thing that has to happen is you've got to decide quitting is not an option. I'm in this thing in the long haul. For the long haul. In Daniel chapter 3 over there with the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had one of the greatest lines that's in the Bible. You've got that big deal over there where they're sitting there getting ready to be thrown in the fiery furnace. They're not bowing down to the king. They're not doing what the king wants them to do. They get told on. They get brought before the king. They've got that hot furnace over there. And that king is just scathing mad. His face is red. Can you imagine? I mean, you think back when your mom and dad was mad at you one time when you done something wrong. I mean, this guy right here is so frustrated. They know what he wants them to do. They know he wants them to say, we're going to bow down. And he sits there and says, listen, I'm getting ready to put you in a fiery furnace unless you bow down. And who is this God that's able to deliver you? And they said this. They said, our God is able to deliver us. But whether he does or whether he don't, we ain't bowing down. And that's the where you got to get, that attitude right there. When you're going through something and God's got you to the situation like he had Hannah, where she had nowhere else to look but up, you got to realize quitting is not an option. That was year by year that she was patiently waiting. And also, you know how we know that Peninnah was the problem? Because God told us. Hannah didn't tell you that. God told you that. Hannah wasn't blaming nobody else for her situation. Amen. Hannah's sitting down and she's looking at this situation she's in. And it ain't so-and-so's fault. It ain't because so-and-so didn't help me. It ain't because God didn't come through for me here and God didn't come through me there. It ain't. You know what she did? She patiently waited year by year. Quitting wasn't an option. She didn't blame anybody else. And you know what she did? She endured hardness. She just endured it. There are people that have to endure life every day. I know people that absolutely dread going to their place of work because of who they work for. I know. You know what? They have no other options. They can't quit. They can't get another job. They're stuck in that situation. It's a heaviness to them. But they have to go in and they endure it. And they continue to endure it. Year by year. Just dealing with stuff like that. You say, what? You can't throw money at problems like that. You've got people that have to deal with a sickness in their home and they're having to work with people and they're having to do things with people and it's a burden to them over and over and over. But they endure it. They endure hardness. And what we're talking about tonight is we're talking about the deliverance
of Hannah. And Hannah got delivered. But she had to do her part. And the first part was she patiently waited. John Bunyan, who wrote the book Pilgrim Progress. And you talk about patience. John Bunyan was told, he said, they were told him this. If you don't quit preaching, we're going to put you in jail. And so he didn't quit preaching. And they put him in jail. And after 5 or 6 years, they let him out for just a little bit, and he still wouldn't quit preaching. They put him right back in. Just a few days he was out, and they put him back in. He was in prison for 12 years. For doing what? For doing right. 12 years. You think back right now, this is 2014, 2002. Think what's went on in your life for the last 12 years. How much memories you got with your children. He didn't get them. What all you've done in your life. He didn't get to do it. He was in prison for doing right. And he just sat there. And that's the people, guys. See, if we could just spend our time reading about people like that, we might think our petty little problems aren't real tough. But you got a guy right there that spent 12 years in prison because he was going to preach. He said, I ain't getting a license to preach. I'm just going to preach. I'm going to do it. And they asked his wife about it. And she pulled her apron out and said, I'd rather have his head in my apron than him to go back on his vow that he's going to continue to preach. So what is that? That's somebody with some patience. I mean, could you make it a week in prison? Could you make it 2 days in prison? 12 years for doing right? For doing what God wants you to do? You know what he did? He got close to God. His heart got tender. He could have quit on God. His wife could have quit on God. They could have all had an option to quit, but they didn't. They endured hardness, patiently waiting. The second thing they did, look at verse 10. Verse 10, what Hannah did is this. The Bible says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She prayed, and the Bible says that she prayed unto the Lord. You know why? Because nobody else could help her. Who was she going to turn to? She couldn't have children. There's nothing that she could do. You know what he wanted to do? I mean, there's been times, I remember me and Beth were first married, and she was at this job, and she was telling me what was going on, and I said, well, let me call the district manager. Let me go up there and talk to your boss. I wanted to fix it for her. She said, no, I don't want you to do anything. I just want you to listen. You know what Elkanah kept trying to do? He kept trying to fix the problem. He said, am I not better to you than 10 sons? No, you're not. Elkanah couldn't fix the problem. You're going to be put in a situation where there is nobody can fix your problem. There is no counseling going to fix your problem. And you better get ready to be patient. And you better get ready to be able to pray unto the Lord. And then wait on Him. Because nobody else could help. Not only nobody else could help, He didn't even understand. He didn't understand what she was going through as a woman and couldn't have a kid. He's coming up with all these answers. He's telling her, this is good. Go eat something. Why are you crying? What's going on? What's your problem? He didn't understand. Nobody knew. Nobody knew what her problem was. He couldn't help her. He didn't understand her problem. You know what she had to do? She had to pray to God. That's the only help. Where could I go except to the Lord? That's the only place you can go sometimes. Sometimes God will get you in a situation where your husband or your wife can't help you, your pastor can't help you, money can't help you. You are stuck and God's saying, listen, I want you to be closer to me. Unless you're willing to get down and get closer to God and go through the thing that He wants you through, you're never going to be able to have victory. You're never going to get delivered from your adversary. Look down in verse 24 and 28. Well, before you get there, she also there in verse 11, it says she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid. And she makes a deal with God. And I'd say everybody sitting here I'm looking at right now, you've made a deal with God. How many times have you ever said, Lord, if you'll let this thing work out, God, I'll go to church and I'll never miss again. God, I'll start witnessing. God, I'll start doing what you want me. I'll start tithing. God, if you'll just work this out, Lord. God, if you'll just fix this problem, I'll do this. You know, I can't see where there's anything the Bible tells you not to do something like that. But according to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, the Bible says if you vow a vow, don't defer to pay it. You better pay it. You better think before you start making deals with God. And you make a deal with God, you get that thing arranged there, and you're in the middle of praying, and you're saying, God, if you'll do this, I'll do this. If it happens, you better do what God, you better do what you told God you'd do. Hannah gets so bent out of shape and so at the end of her rope, and she don't have nowhere to turn, and she ain't getting any relief with this problem. She gets down and she begins to pray. And she says, God, if you'll just remember me. God, I'll give you my kid. God, if you'll just remember your handmaiden, God, I will give him to you. I'll give you the glory for the answer to prayer. God, I'll do this for you if you'll do this for me. And that's how that prayer went. So she patiently waited, and then she prayed unto the Lord. Now go down to verse 24 and 28. After she got blessed, and God answered her prayer, in verse 24 it says this, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. She patiently waited, then she prayed unto the Lord, and then she paid her vow. And she was content to pay her vow. She just wanted a child. And she wanted it so bad she was willing to do anything. How bad do you want to get delivered out of your problems? And if you do make a deal with the Lord, then be content to do whatever it is you tell the God that you're going to do. You're setting. You look over here in chapter 2. Chapter 2. Look at verse 19. And this is about 6 years later. The Bible says, moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. And she came up with her husband, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And she's spending all year long sewing, making a little coat for a little boy that she prayed for. She don't get to raise him. She ain't got him. She made a vow. She said, God, I'm going to give him to you. I'm going to let you raise him. I'm going to let you have him. And she did it. And every year she looked forward to going up there, and she'd make a little coat for him, keep him warm, go up there and see him. Look what it says in the next verse. Verse 21, 2:21 says, and the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. God blessed her, gave her a child. She did what she was supposed to do, and then God continued to bless her. And she paid her vow, and she was content with her vow, with the vow that she paid, and she just dealt with it. And the last thing is this right here. If you want to be delivered out of your problems, is when you do get delivered, you need to give God the glory. She praised her God. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. And this is Hannah talking to the Lord right here. Hannah's sitting here and she's praying to God. And as she prays to God after she gets this prayer answered, here's where you begin to realize, boy, she couldn't stand Peninnah. And man, she counted her as an adversary. And she thought about her day in and day out, about all the things that she was doing to her. And after she has that child, and she sees God's delivered her out of that problem, she begins to pray. She's not telling Peninnah off. And she's not telling Elkanah about all this. She's telling the Lord. She begins to pray, and she begins to talk to the Lord about what all He did and how great He is. You ever want to just brag on God and you don't know how? Get this chapter right here and just read the first 10 verses to the Lord and say, God, this is what I think, God. This right here to you.
Look what she does. The Bible says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." See, she's talking to Peninnah. But she's talking to the Lord. And she is telling Peninnah off. And she's talking about how arrogant she was. She's talking about how things wasn't working out for her, and it was working out for Peninnah, and how she was using that against him. And she's sitting here, boy, and she did what she's supposed to do. She's been patient. She's prayed. She got so close to God that she sat down and made a vow, and God answered her prayer. And then God answered that prayer. She weaned that child, and she took that child and gave him to Eli. And as she turned around and began to walk off, she began to realize how good God is. And she just sits there and she thinks about all the trouble she was facing, all the problems that she was going through. And you know what? It was all worth it. Look how close she is to the Lord right here. This is what God wants. Verse 4, "The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed." She gets answered that prayer right there, and she begins to go into the second advent. She's bragging on God, and she starts prophesying about what God's going to do for Jesus Christ. You ever had a problem? You ever need to be delivered from an adversary? You got something going on in your life that nobody else knows about, but maybe your husband, maybe your wife knows about it, maybe your closest friend, but they can't give you money to fix it. They can't give you counsel to fix it. You can't even explain what's wrong with you. They don't even understand what's going on. Maybe it's the Lord. Maybe it's God who's brought you to a point. Maybe God's taken a wayward child, or God's taken a wayward spouse, and he's got you down and he's got you humbled, something you're going through. And what he's trying to do is to get you to come to him and say, "God, please remember me. Remember me, Lord." God wants you to get to the point to where you're willing to pray and trust specifically and completely on him. He wants your relationship back. He wants you fixed with him. He wants that prayer life sweet again. He wants that Bible reading sweet again. And we get away from God and we don't know what's going on, and the thought never occurs to us, maybe we're going through this problem because he just wants some fellowship. And he wants to bless you, but he can't bless you because you're not in the right spot. And he gets you in the right spot, and then he blesses you. And then you know what you can do? You can begin to brag on the Lord, get off by yourself on the side of a mountain somewhere, down in a holler somewhere, out in a car, just driving around, listening to some good music, exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, and let those tears flow down your face because God answered your prayer and he delivered you from your adversary. But if you're not willing to do that, you're not willing to be patient, you're not willing to pray, you're not willing to get serious with God in your prayers, you'll never get to that point. You'll never get there. If you want God to deliver you from whatever it is you're going through, whatever problems it is, it starts with just getting patient and then saying, "God, please remember me. Remember me. Please don't." Look back over at 1 Samuel chapter 2. When she's, chapter 1. When she's talking to Eli the priest, and Eli thinks she's drunk because she's praying there. And she begins to tell Eli what's going on. Then Eli says, you're going to have a son. And look what the Bible says. Verse 17, the Bible says, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. See, she was patient, and she prayed, and she got her answer. And look what it says in verse 19, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah's wife, and look what it says. And the Lord remembered her. See, he wants it back. He wants the fellowship back. Are you willing to say, God, maybe it's me? Am I the problem? Am I the problem? Let's all stand.